Wow. That's all I could say. It's a wow. Last night is such a wow moment in so many ways. I'm being serious. There's so many wow moments, and not just the big Donald Trump win, not just the big Donald Trump win, but the spin, the denial that the establishment party is in. I mean, again, they just keep this, I guess you could call it a hope alive, dream, a hope. Oh, man. I mean, all day, or all morning, I should say. Some of you that are listening to us on the East Coast, you're saying, yeah, all day. All morning over here on the West Coast. Every newscast has stories on the GOP calling for John Kasich to get out of the race. He's got to get out of the race. If he gets out of the race, then and only then Donald Trump will be defeated. He has to get out of the race because, you know, his 2,700 votes last night made all the difference in the world. They did. They made all the difference in the world, his 2,700 votes. So John Kasich has to get out of the race. Because remember, if he gets out of the race, every single vote, every single person that will vote for John Kasich will automatically vote for Marco Rubio. And man, oh man. This morning, that guys have to get out of the race. These people got to get out. The only way to beat Donald Trump. That's the way we had this conversation yesterday. There's a story on our website today. You could go to my Twitter. Go there right now. Go there right now. Don't get me crazy. Go there right now. Read my story. Okay, please, I'm begging you, go read my story. We did it yesterday. It's from the show yesterday, at Rob Zicari Show, at Rob Zicari Show. Read it. We break down this completely bunk theory, and that's what it is. It's a bunk theory that as every candidate gets out of the race, those votes automatically and magically go to Marco Rubio. And then when it's Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, and Donald Trump, once Rubio gets out or Ted Cruz gets out, all that support goes to the other candidate. Nothing goes to Trump. Kasich's people don't go to Trump. Cruz's people don't go to Trump. Rubio's people don't go to Trump. Cruz's people don't go to Trump. It's an insane theory. I talked about it yesterday on our website now, extremepolitics.com. Go there, extremepolitics.com. Read the article. Go to my Twitter. And last night in the Nevada caucuses, now, remember, again, you'll hear people say, well, that's an outlier. That you know, you can't take anything away from Nevada. Well, you know, Trump, he's got a casino there. So, okay. And Marco Rubio doesn't talk much about it because it plays more into his whole Cuban soccer-playing young boy story from Florida. But Marco Rubio's got family there. He's got a lot of family there. And last night, Donald Trump won with 46% of the vote. Marco Rubio had 24% of the vote. Ted Cruz had 21% of the vote. And if you add Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio together, guess what? They still would have lost to Donald. If you had Marky, if you had Marco Cruz or Ted Rubio, they lost by a couple thousand votes to Donald Trump. If you put them two together, and you could sit here and do a Rubik's Cube. You know I'm famous for my Rubik's Cube theory. You could do it like this. Take Kasich and Carson, which is 9 points, and give them to Cruz. Now Cruz is at 30%, Rubio is at 24%, and Trump is at 46%. Give the 9 points to Rubio. Now he's at 33%. Trump is at 46%. Now take Kasich, take Carson, split their votes up, and then take Cruz out of the mix. You really think Cruz's 21% is all going to go to Marco Rubio? Ain't going to happen. But the establishment are desperate. And the exit numbers last night, they literally are, they all had to go to the bathroom and clean out their shorts. I kid you not, they all had to clean out their shorts. Because Donald Trump won every single exit poll, except one. And you want to know what he won with? Which was huge, considering that Rubio is Hispanic and Cruz is Hispanic. Donald Trump won with the Hispanic vote. He won with the Hispanic vote. Yeah. More Hispanics in Nevada voted for the guy that said he's going to build a wall and keep out illegals. And the Hispanics that are here legally applauded and said, you know what? We want to vote for you. We're not going to vote for these other two who happen to also be Hispanic. The sound of poop, okay? That sound was heard around the GOP establishment world. Just this horrific, nasty sound and god-awful smell. Every pundit, name the pundit, name the Republican pundit, Perino, Ana Navarro. Ana Navarro must be just losing her mind. Think about poor Ana Navarro. Her boy Jeb, gone. Her fellow Hispanics all voted for Donald Trump. and her two Hispanic hopefuls got hammered. Got hammered. I mean, they got hammered. And Ted Cruz, let me tell you something. Ted Cruz just keeps sinking and sinking and sinking. Not only did Trump win with Hispanics, I got the exit polls. I got the exit polls here, okay? I got the exit polls. Let me bust out these exit polls. That way we could be exact, okay? So we could be exact. But on top of Hispanics, Trump won with evangelicals. Yes, evangelicals. He won with evangelicals. Isn't that something? Is it that he won with? I mean, he won the white vote. He won the Latino vote. But I mean, he won, as they would say in the exit polls, the non-white vote. He won, you know, people. It's funny. You look at if you look at Yahoo, and I got it. You know, I always say this, and I don't follow through, and I gotta follow through. I gotta follow through on this. But whoever owns Yahoo is an uber liberal, like an insane liberal, like beyond liberal, because the quote that is their bait click has Trump with his hands in the air, and it says, "Trump's cry, I love the poorly educated." After winning the Nevada caucuses, the GOP frontrunner calls out several groups of key supporters, sets off Twitter firestorm. Oh no, a Twitter firestorm. And the Twitter firestorm is a bunch of liberal douchebags. Keith Olbermann. Remember Keith Olbermann? MSNBC fired him. Little Katie Turr's boyfriend or ex-boyfriend that basically got her in MSNBC. Albert Brooks. You know, you remember Albert Brooks, the filmmaker? Another liberal douchebag. And it's these people firing off tweets, making fun of Trump saying, "We won the poorly educated." And it's awesome. It's awesome. And the funny thing is, these people and Yahoo are a little late to the party, because Trump did the same thing in South Carolina. He read the exit polls. He read the tabs. He read the tabs that CNN, MSNBC like to show. And let's not forget all these pundits are constantly reminding anybody who watches their show, well, you know, Trump does the best with high school or less. Those are the people that are vote. When he first started competing many, 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 many months ago, all you would hear from the liberal douchebags and the scumbag pundits, oh, the only people that vote for Trump are stupid. I watched that elitist Joan Walsh on Chris Matthews' show bag on all the Trump supporters, say they're uneducated, they're Neanderthals, they're knuckle draggers. That's all we've ever heard. Ah, the people that support Trump, they're stupid. What is it? Michael Che on Saturday Night Live. You know what he said? He called them window pane lickers, window lickers, something of that nature. And if you look it up on the Urban Dictionary, it means retarded. It means somebody who is retarded. So you have Saturday Night Live calling the Trump supporters retarded. These are liberals. And here is a liberal website. Let's face it, Yahoo and the people that work at Yahoo are all liberal, bleeding heart, leftist douchebags. And all these people that are outraged, late to the party because their own leaders, their own people, their own peers have been calling the Trump supporters stupid and retarded for the last 8 months. And now Trump is using that against all of these people. And they can't stand it. They can't stand it. They can't stand it. And these are CNN's words. These are MSNBC's words. These are CNN's words. They just are losing their minds. They really are. They are losing their minds. Literally, they're losing their minds. This is a sampling. One tweeter, Rob Porno. Donald Trump in his Nevada victory speech. I love the poorly educated. And then the guy says, way to go, America. I mean, that's the Yahoo story. To Twitter troll, grab tweets from people, and then go, look at the outrage. Another sampling of people's tweets. Camille, this man legit said, I love the poorly educated. If this doesn't make you question the direction of this country. I mean, imagine that. Trump is basically giving a shout out to the very group that all of these people say only vote for Donald Trump. And he did this in South Carolina. And it's a great line. It's a great line. And I said this yesterday. Why does Donald Trump connect with people? Because he speaks like the average person. He talks. He talks as if we're people. He talks as if he's one of us. Because, I repeat, because when you watch CNN, okay? When you watch CNN, and they are breaking down the political landscape on who voted for who. They actually have a chart. And they go, let us tell you some of the breakdowns in the exit polls for New Hampshire and for Iowa and for our Wimpingbiak or CNN. Well, so here it is. High school or less. Now, high school or less means poorly educated. Donald Trump is leading with 57% of the vote. Some college. Donald Trump is leading with 49% of the vote. College graduate. Donald Trump is leading with 42% of the vote. And postgraduate. Donald Trump is leading with 37%. So there you have it, Wolf. Donald Trump is leading across the spectrum. He's leading. And now when you really get into the numbers, when you really get into the numbers, let's break down education by race. Let's break down education by race. You have white college graduates. Donald Trump is leading with 40%. You have whites with no degree. Donald Trump is leading with 52%. Now, Wolf, here's some big numbers. Non-whites, college grads. Donald Trump is winning 41%. Non-whites, no degree. And, Wolf, here's the big number, 44%. You see, Donald Trump is winning in every single category across the spectrum when it comes to people and education. Well, thank you, Jim. That's what we see. So all Donald Trump does is take what we, the voter, we, the pundits, we, the political spin guru doctors, he takes what we all watch every day, and he translates that into a language that we all get. So when you see Donald Trump go, we did huge in Nevada. We did what they said we couldn't do. We won with highly educated. We won with medium educated. We won with the poorly educated, and we love the poorly educated. We won with fat people. We won with skinny people. We won with the midgets. We won with the Hispanics. And people are laughing. They're eating it up. They get it. They're sitting there going, he's making fun of the CNN charts. He's making fun of the liberals. He's making fun of the people that make fun of us. He's making fun of the people that make fun of him. He's making fun. He is one of us. And the individuals that are out there that are constantly just baffled, they really are. They're just bad. I don't get it. How is this? How does this? Because I've said it before and I'll say it again. The American people are sick and tired of that same old BS fake politician. People are sick of being told that someone has to be a certain way. And unless they are a certain way, they're not a real American. They're not good for the country. And that's not how the American people are. I've said this before. You've heard me talk about it on the show. When we are in our everyday life and somebody says, hey, how do you get to point A to B? There's not a 5-minute answer. If you're at work and you ask a coworker how to handle a situation, they don't talk in circles. They don't give you a 25-minute answer. It doesn't happen. It only happens in the realm of politics. And the very media that liberals created The very media that liberals have taken all the boundaries out, the very media that gives you I Am Kate and gives you Glee and gives you Empire and gives you Zodiac and Blood and Oil and the list goes on and on and on and gives you Beyonce talking about death to cops at Super Bowl. That same media that the liberals created, the liberals promote, is the same media and culture that created Donald Trump. They're staring at a mirror, and they don't understand how this happened. They don't get it. Breaking down every barrier and basically saying, well, this is our right. That's our right. You could do this. You could do that. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with that. Everything that we have in our society today propels Donald Trump to where he is now. And it kills them. It kills them. It kills these liberals. It kills them. And Republicans, it kills them. Because everything that they have known, everything that they have known, think about it, everything that they have known as far as their party and what the voter wants, Donald Trump came in and smashed it all to pieces. Smashed it all to pieces. Literally, just smashed it all to pieces. A thought. I mean, think about Jerry Falwell Jr. Think about Jerry Falwell Sr. That's part of the moral majority. That's the group that put Ronald Reagan in the White House. That's the group that had meetings with Ronald Reagan. They basically had a place at the table in the Reagan administration. Man, here's that group going to a billionaire from New York. And they don't get it. They don't get it. The Republicans don't get it. They don't understand it. How can this be, they're saying? How the hell can the evangelicals go to Donald Trump? How? How does this happen? He's been married 3 times. He talks about the host, the communion host, as a cracker. He says 2 Corinthians walk into a bar. He does a speech and tells everybody that his favorite book is the Bible. He doesn't have surrogates running around talking about Jesus coming to them in a dream, and God killed Antonin Scalia, so someone can pick Supreme. I mean, Donald Trump is not part of that world, but yet that world loves Donald Trump. The Republicans cannot figure it out. They cannot figure it out. Why is this? Why is this? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why are Hispanics liking him. And like I said, you'll hear people say, well, Nevada's an outlier. That doesn't count. It doesn't count. It doesn't count. How does it not count? You've now had four Republican caucus slash primary contests. And in every single one of them, they have had record turnout. That record turnout hasn't been for Marco Rubio or John Kasich or Ted Cruz. That record turnout has been for Donald Trump. And last night was no different. The Nevada caucuses had record turnout. I think they did something like double what they did in 2012. Double. And out of that group, the Hispanics voted for Trump. And they don't understand why. Why would Hispanics in Nevada vote for Donald Trump, a guy who wants to build a wall, and not vote for two fellow Hispanics? They don't understand. Because Hispanics are supposed to vote like black folk. That's how Republicans and Democrats view the non-white vote. Seriously. And obviously, Trump doesn't. Because remember, from day one, when Trump talked about building the wall, and people said to him, you know, you're not going to get any Hispanic votes. And Trump said, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. He said, I will lead amongst Hispanics. And everybody laughed at him. Literally, they laughed at him. Because what we're told by the GOP and the Democrats is that black voters, Hispanic voters, are stupid. They don't have a mind of their own. And they vote because their leaders tell them who to vote for. That's why you see Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders pandering to Al Sharpton, the NAACP, Killer Mike. Not going to individuals. They're going to these high-profile black figures, and they're saying, hey, can you get your people to vote for me? If I promise you things, will you then use your black magic, go out there and say, all right, all you blacks, vote Bernie Sanders, because he bought me some collard greens in Harlem at this diner. I mean think about the pandering. Bernie Sanders meets Al Sharpton in a soul food restaurant in Harlem. Really? All the cameras are there. Come on. But the Dems, that's how they look at the black folk. Remember, guys. Remember, the state of the black community, as far as prison, I was going to say incarceration. I was going to use a big word there. Show my chops to, you know, Mark Levin. Because he's one of the highly educated. He's one of the high. I'm poorly educated, and Donald Trump loves me. Okay? Remember, all the black folks that are in prison. All the racism. No job opportunities. Think about everything that plagues the black community. And now, wrap your brain around the fact that the president of the United States is black. He's black. How's that for bizarre? The black community has all these problems. Racism, mass incarceration, jobs. And the president that's basically been overseeing this for the past 7 years is black. And it's an old white lady and an old white Jewish man telling the black folk that they're going to help them. Because the black guy for the past 7 years hasn't. What the? How's that for beyond bizarre? How's that for beyond bizarre? So the Dems pander to the NAACP, Bernie Sanders, the Killer Mikes, and they say, hey, get your people to vote for us. Thank you. And vice versa, rather it's Republicans, to a lesser extent when it comes to Hispanics, but Democrats and the Hispanics. So they say to the Hispanics, hey, Jorge Ramos, hey, Univision, hey, Telemundo, hey, Jalice Ballart, hey, tell all them Hispanics to vote for us. Because we're going to make sure that their friends that are here illegally don't get deported. So you make sure you do that. And no one understands that there's a very big population of Hispanics that came here legally. Or were born here, and their families came here legally, and they don't prescribe to other Hispanics not playing by the rules. But yet, Democrats and Republicans, like I said, to a lesser extent Republicans, I think they play in to that narrative because Democrats have told them that. But the notion that every Hispanic votes the same way and for a candidate that their leaders tell them to vote for. And of course, the minute you talk about border security or deporting illegals, that's the death. That's the death nail. Because the assumption is every Hispanic is for illegal immigration. And that's not the case. It's not the case. And Trump said that. Trump said that was not the case. And everybody went, you're just delusional. You're delusional. You're a nut job. And we've seen that was the case. You can listen to the pundits. You can listen to the wishful thinkers that will tell you, it's just an outlier. Well, that outlier had a record turnout. And that record turnout had close to 50% of the Hispanics that voted for Donald Trump. They just don't get it. And it's killing them. That's killing them. The fact that the evangelicals went with Trump. That's killing them. It's killing them. It's killing them. And the other thing that's killing them is the fact that Trump has the lowest number when it comes to shares my values. But yet, he's winning hands down. And they don't get it. They don't get it. They don't understand. If somebody doesn't share your values, why would you like them? Why would you vote for them? And to me, that's such a it's a poorly educated thinking. It's a poorly educated thought process. It's a poorly educated person to think that shares my values means winner, means success. And they can't wrap their brains around it. They can't wrap their brains around the fact that Ted Cruz wins, shares my values. The fact that Donald Trump doesn't win that category. And yet, Donald Trump beat Ted Cruz by 25 points, 25%, whatever the hell it is. They don't understand that. And then when you look at the other numbers, tells it like it is, 85%, can bring change, 59%. Immigration, 62%. The economy and jobs, 48%. Terrorism, 36%. Government spending, 37%. These are all the categories that Trump leads in. And for some reason, the GOP establishment looks at those numbers and goes, yeah, but he loses, shares my values. Really? That's what you're focusing on? So the fact that the people care about immigration and the fact that he's the leader in that? Yeah, but shares my values. The economy and jobs? Yeah, but shares my values. Terrorism? Yeah, but shares my values. That's what the establishment, that just shows you what kind of shakeup and what kind of reality check Trump has brought the party. Because shares my values is kind of part of that evangelical moral majority. You have to check the box off on all of these things. And unless you do, you're not one of us. You don't share our value. And in turn, we reject you. And Trump comes along and breaks every taboo as far as the GOP is concerned and gets evangelical leaders like Jerry Falwell Jr. on his side. And they just, how does this work? They're in that process of, well, he's been married 3 times. That goes against the values of us good evangelists. What's going on? It's like these people haven't come out of the caves. It sounds ridiculous to say that, but that's the only thing I can say. These people haven't come out of the caves. Share my values. That is, in a nutshell, what it means. Whether it's homeschooling. Rather, it's going to church every single week, five times a week, whatever. Rather, it's not cursing. Rather, it's only being married to the same woman. You know, not being divorced. Rather, it's only having sex to create. These are all values. That's what that means. Shares my values. That values is a kind of coded word. It's an evangelical word. That's really what it is. I know some people argue with me, go, Rob, you're ridiculous. But listen, talking about in the context of exit polling and when focusing on the term evangelicals and very conservative, that word values means exactly what I'm talking about. So when you're referencing values and evangelicals in Iowa and in North Carolina, New Hampshire, you're talking about things like homeschooling. You know, you're talking about these things that you see predominantly in evangelical households. And the notion that Donald Trump didn't homeschool, because ultimately, if Donald Trump didn't homeschool and you did, you have a value in homeschooling. You think there's a value in homeschooling. You think that's an important value. If you've been married to the same woman or same man for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, no matter what has happened in that marriage, good or for bad, but to you, it is death to us part, and that's a value. That's a value that you cherish. That's a value important to you. And you look at Donald Trump, and he's been married three times, that someone doesn't share the value of saying, no matter what, good times, bad times, if I'm miserable, if I'm happy, I stay with this person right to the end. The notion that individuals would look at Donald Trump and go, you know what? I know in my heart of hearts, he would be the best on immigration. He would be the best on jobs. He would be the best fighting terrorism. He'd be the best as far as controlling government spending. He tells it like it is. He can bring change. I love all that stuff. But you know what? I really like homeschooling. I think that's something that is someone should value. And I'm miserable in my marriage right now, but you know what? But you know what? I will never divorce because that goes against the traditions of my religion, and it's a value that I hold near and dear to my heart. And you know what? Donald Trump's been married three times, so even though terrorism, economy, government spending, those are all things that I know he can achieve. Hey, he's been married three times. Not voting for him. No, it doesn't exist. That doesn't. Maybe it existed in 1980, but here, almost 40 years later, that doesn't exist. Okay, it doesn't exist. And these old school Republicans can't get their brain wrapped around that. They just can't get their brain wrapped around that. It's amazing. It really is. It's amazing that they don't get it. They don't get it. And the evangelicals, people that have those deep core values, necessarily need their leader to have those values. They just want that leader to protect them from people trying to stomp on their values or take that aspect of their values away, whether it's homeschooling or school prayer or not having to bake a cake for a gay couple. They don't care if their president goes, you know what, here, cake. Here you go, have it. I don't care. But I respect the people that do care, and I will fight for them to be protected. That's all they're looking for. That's all they're looking for. Because they understand at the end of the day, having a candidate, and I think it goes back to the 70s and 80s. I think they understand through time this notion that the perfect candidate exists is not there. It's just not there. And when they've been sold the perfect candidate, who's all of these, I mean, again, it goes back to the 80s. It goes back to the mega churches. It goes back to the evangelicals that listened and followed people like Jimmy Swaggart and Tammy Baker and those individuals. And it wasn't just 100,000 people. These preachers had millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of followers. And they get caught in sex scandals. Look at Ted Haggard. Ted Haggard. Remember Ted Haggard from a couple years ago? Hey, that guy was huge. Huge. Millions of people followed Ted Haggard. And what happened? He was found in a hotel room smoking crack with a guy. And not just any guy, but like a hooker, a hustler, a man prostitute. So I think now evangelicals get that they're never going to get a candidate that is Jesus, but in human form. And I think that's why you're seeing this rejection of Ted Cruz, because Ted Cruz has always put himself out there as this godly man, this perfect politician who's never done anything shady, who's just walked this perfect line of, you know, godliness. He's got Glenn Beck out there talking about Jesus, talking to him, and he's running around with a Bible or a book from George Washington. I mean, just weird, creepy, weird stuff. Creepy, weird, creepy, creepy, weird stuff. Okay? And then as the campaign unfolds and allegations, and then, of course, allegations becoming not just allegations, but facts, of Ted Cruz lying and being shady and shifty, and individuals go, another person using God as this shield, using God as this kind of calling card. And once again, this politician is completely full of crap. So they've gone to Trump and said, hey, we believe you because you're not trying to tell us that you're one of us. You're telling us you love us. You're telling us, I love you. I love you, evangelicals. I love you, highly educated. I love you, poorly educated. I love you. I'm not one of you in that sense. Yes, I don't go to church every day. I don't ask God for forgiveness every day. Yes, I don't believe in homeschooling. All of those things I don't do or I don't believe in. But I respect you for believing in them. I respect you for holding those things dear to your heart. And I will always fight for you. And the people go, all right, I love that message. I love that message. And Republicans and Democrats are losing their effing minds. They are losing their effing minds. They are losing their effing minds. They can't get their heads around all of these numbers. They can't. And the only thing you hear from the establishment are two things. If the field whittles down, all of the non-Trump votes will go to whoever is not Trump. And the people that support Trump aren't supporting Trump. They're supporting a message of anger. And they get that from Rush Limbaugh. Because if you listen to Rush Limbaugh, and like I've said, I've listened to him. I'm not going to bullshit, not every day, but I'll check in for 20 minutes here, check in for 20 minutes there. And if you listen to him, his theory, and of course, he's always right, but his theory is it's not Trump. It's the anger. And he's just the vessel. He's just the vessel. But that theory's bunk because Ted Cruz is a vessel. And the people have rejected Ted Cruz. The people have rejected. Listen, Ted Cruz could spin third place finishes all he wants. He could spin third place finishes all he wants. But if you look from Iowa to Nevada, he is going down, 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 down. Every race he loses support. And now more than ever, it looks like Iowa A is no different than Iowa was back in 2012 and 2008. And there was shenanigans going on with the robocalls, push-pulls, voter fraud paperwork, and telling people Ben Carson got out of the race. It's obvious. It's obvious. Because from then to now, that support is evaporating. And if anybody, and I'll say this again, if anybody honestly thinks that a Ted Cruz supporter is going to leave him and go to Marco Rubio, they're insane. They're insane. Marco Rubio is everything that Ted Cruz isn't. And Donald Trump is everything that Ted Cruz wants to be. So if you're a follower of Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio is no way, shape, or form your second choice. End of story. End of story. Absolutely end of story. And if Ted Cruz can't win the evangelicals, who does he win? What does he win? How does he win? How does he win? How does he win? CNN breakdown goes even further. When did you decide whom to vote for? Last few days or earlier? So the last few days is Rubio at 36%, Trump 24%. Earlier, Trump 52%. Now, I actually heard one pundit go, you know, that's one bright spot for Rubio. And that's something that Trump and his camp need to maybe be worried about. I'm like, and I'm just going like, why? What? Well, because right before the election, people broke for Marco Rubio. And one of the other pundits went, yeah, but it also shows that Trump support is locked in. And no matter what happens, that support doesn't leave. And yeah, Marco Rubio might be at 36% of people breaking in the last few days, but Donald Trump is at 24%. And if you take Marco Rubio's earlier number, which is 20%, and you crunch those numbers together, Trump beats Marco Rubio in that whole theory. Trump beats Marco Rubio in that whole theory because 12% of the voters voted for Marco Rubio in the last few days over Trump, but 32% of the voters have been with Trump the longest. So, what bright spot? I mean, these results, seriously, these results were, you know, shocking. They really were. These results were shocking. And the Republican establishment is losing their minds. And the Democrats are losing their minds. They really are. The Democrats are losing their minds. The Democrats are funny. They have the most bizarre way to show their feelings when it comes to Trump, because you got to think about it. On one side of their mouth, Trump is the easiest candidate to beat. It's going to be a cakewalk to beat him in the general, whether it's Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton. He's alienated everybody. Muslims, blacks, Hispanics, Asians. The only people that are going to vote for him are white guys, knuckle draggers, window pane lickers, neo-Nazis. So you have that coming from their mouth. You have that coming from their mouth. But then the other side of their mouth, the other side of their mouth, they are doing everything in their power. Everything in their power to basically disqualify anybody that votes for Trump and to persuade anybody who's thinking about voting for Trump that if they vote for Trump, they're Nazis, he's going to be Hitler, and it's going to be a bad time in this country. Well, now, wouldn't you think that if Trump was this easy cakewalk, this nothing, that the Democrats would basically just leave him alone? I mean, seriously, wouldn't you just be like, ah? I mean, Huffington Post, every time they write an article with Donald Trump is a xenophobe, he's a racist, he's a bigot. You have the Washington Post. You have newspaper after newspaper after newspaper writing editorials. Like, not just an editorial from, you know, Ezra Klein, but a Washington Post editorial. Like, hi, this is an editorial from all of us here at the Washington Post. Donald Trump is a monster. New York Times. I mean, you name the newspaper. You name the network. College newspapers, they're putting together quote-unquote editorials, calling Trump Hitler. I mean, one side, he's easy, he's nothing, he's a joke. Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, they're going to wipe him out. It's over. It's done. It's going to be a Reagan-esque landslide for the Democrats. And then on the other side, you have this effort like you've never seen before. Like you've never seen before. I listened to Republicans. I listened to the pundits say, well, you know why Donald Trump is where he is? Because no one has challenged him. No one has attacked him. No one in the GOP has taken him on. And if somebody would have fought him, if somebody would have created super PAC ads, if somebody would have, he wouldn't be where he is. To me, that theory is the same theory of as the people get out of the race, all of their votes will go to the person that's not Trump. The same theory of the media, rather it's Hollywood, rather it's the newspaper. Those attacks are meaningless. It's the one-on-one attack by Marco Rubio in a gymnasium somewhere in South Carolina screaming about Trump, or local TV ads screaming about Trump. Those are the things. Those are the things that sway the voters. Those are the things that would make all the voters pause and go, maybe I shouldn't support Donald Trump and I should support John Kasich. Forget every time they turn on the television and it's somebody bashing Trump. Forget any time they open up their newspaper, local or national, it's somebody bashing Trump. Anytime they watch a comedy program, anytime they just try to let their mind relax, it's somebody bashing Trump. That doesn't work. That doesn't count. But it's Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz going, you're not a conservative, and them doing that over and over. And that's what sways the voters. That's BS. It's BS. That is BS. When people say, oh, the media is taking it easy on Trump. The media has taken it easy on Trump. What are you talking about? I got an 8-minute interview between Chuck Todd, Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd, and Donald Trump when Trump came out with the 9/11 celebrations. And I got Chuck Todd, literally, I mean, he's literally, I don't want to say screaming, but let's say he's screaming. He is doing pretty much what amounts to screaming without screaming. He's sitting there telling Trump, it didn't happen, Donald. It did. I mean, he's arguing with Donald Trump saying it didn't happen, and Trump's pushing back. Lawrence O'Donnell, MSNBC, the journalist extraordinaire, he did the entire program. The entire program was around Donald Trump is a liar. That's how he led the show off. He's a liar. That's what he's a liar. That's all he kept saying. A liar. The New York Times, the lie. I mean, are you kidding me? The media hasn't challenged him. If he says something that the media doesn't like, it is on every single channel telling everybody that he is full of crap, or he's a liar, or he is out of bounds, or whatever. You have Mort Zuckerberg's newspaper calling him a clown, saying he's Hitler. Are you kidding me? Where do you people come up with these theories? Where do you come up with these theories? Who has actually sat in a room with some of you people and said, all right, here's why this is happening? And everybody sits there and goes, hey, that's, yeah, you're right. That's good. Am I the only one? Am I the only one that pushes back on this BS? Seriously, am I the only one that pushes back on this BS? Please, someone tell me. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? Am I the only person that writes an article that says, wait a minute, time out. Why would the Cruz supporters go to Rubio if Cruz gets out? Why would the Rubio supporters go to Cruz if Rubio gets out? Why would Rubio and Cruz make it to the convention by winning one state? Why? How are they going to go for the next 2.5 months with no money? How? How do they do that? How do they do that? How do they do that? How does this happen? But nobody says that. It's just, oh, well, they'll keep going, and they're going to go to this state, and they're going to go to that state, and this, and how? How does that happen? How does that happen? I'm the only person that says this. When they go, oh, nobody's attacking Trump. They need to attack Trump. They need to attack Trump. Do you realize South Carolina? This is, think about the logic here. The South Carolina, think about the logic, my bad. Two logic. The Iowa debates that Trump didn't show up at, he got tortured for it. He got tortured for it. Okay? And he lost. All right? So he got tortured for it, and he lost the Iowa caucus. Then you have South Carolina. And then he moves on, wins New Hampshire. Then we get to South Carolina. Okay, we get to South Carolina. Let me reverse real quick. The National Review puts out a magazine. Talk about nobody's gone after Trump. What's more powerful? Again, Marco Rubio in a gymnasium in New Hampshire saying Donald Trump is not a conservative, or a magazine, the National Review, that puts out a copy, and the entire magazine is about Trump and about him being evil, Again, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So then we go to South Carolina. Trump has a debate. Everybody attacks Trump. Everybody attacks Trump. Trump attacks other people. He attacks George Bush. He attacks his judgment on 9/11. The debate is over, and every single pundit on every single cable show said Donald Trump lost. He was unhinged. He looked bad. He attacked 9/11. He attacked George Bush. He's done. He's finished. Bill Kristol, he's done. He's finished. They did it. That was the Waterloo moment. It worked. Now Bush goes into South Carolina with Jeb. That's the stronghold. Huge, huge military presence. It's over. Trump is done. Every single talk show on Fox, every talk show on CNN, MSNBC, Trump is done. And again, remember, no one's attacking Trump. No one's going after Trump. The media isn't challenging Trump. I mean, it was a shock and awe assault after South Carolina. Anderson Cooper, town hall meeting that's coordinated with the BuzzFeed guys so that they can bust out the Howard Stern interview of Trump being loosely for the war before the war started. That's going to – I mean, all of this happened before South Carolina. Then NBC, Wall Street Journal, Rupert Murdoch put out a poll that shows Ted Cruz overtaking Donald Trump nationally, and Ted Cruz closing the gap in South Carolina. And what happens? Donald Trump blows everybody out in South Carolina. He blows everybody out in South Carolina. That media storm hate against Donald Trump did nothing. It did absolutely nothing. And yet, you hear Lowerly and this Katie Packer, all remember our former Mitt Romney workers. And we all know what happened to Mitt Romney. He lost a race he should not have lost. And you got all these people, Packer, Lowerly, Ben Shapiro, talking about, oh, the media hasn't gone. No one's gone after Trump. He's gotten a free pass. A free pass? A free pass? Are you kidding me? They unloaded nuclear weapons before South Carolina. They unloaded on him before South Carolina. And he won. I mean, they, I'm telling you, they're insane. They are delusional. They're insane. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. They're grasping at every straw they could possibly grasp for. And it's obvious. It's obvious that the media and what goes out on those talk shows matter and people listen. That's why they are so hesitant to say the things I'm saying, which they all know, because they're giving this last gasp of hope. They are clinging to the last gasp of hope, which is the media hasn't attacked Trump, the candidates haven't attacked Trump, and once the field gets down to Rubio or Cruz, they will beat Trump. So they keep putting that out there because they don't want the voter to basically go, you know what, he's going to be the winner. Let's just go with the winner. Who wants to be a loser? I was a Jeb Bush supporter. I gave Jeb Bush money, and we lost. I'm not going to go and give money now to Ted Cruz, and he loses. I'm going to go with a winner, and I don't have to give him money. I'm going to go with a winner, and I don't have to give him money. End of story. That's where I'm going. That's it. That's where I'm going. So the pundits, the news media, Fox, they know this. They know this, and they got to give it one last gasp. But they know everything I'm saying is legit. They know it's real. After the Nevada caucuses, they could call it an outlier. They could call it whatever they want, but they had record turnout. And Donald Trump almost got 47% of the vote. If you add Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio up together, they don't equal what Donald Trump got. Donald Trump won with evangelicals. He won with Hispanics. He won with the highly educated. He won with poorly educated. He won with the women. He won with the guys. He won with the non-blacks, non-Hispanic. He won everything. And every single state that they have had contests in, he has expanded his base. He's expanded that base. They're giving it one last shot. Tomorrow's going to be that last shot, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't think CNN is going to do everything in their power to bury Trump, if you don't think Hugh Hewitt, mark my words, Hugh Hewitt is not going to be asking any questions to any of the candidates except Trump. Hugh Hewitt, his mission, the establishment has already called Hugh Hewitt and said, this is the last shot we got. Because if Trump has a good debate, it's over. If he looks presidential, it's over. This is the last debate. Because after this debate, and we have Super Tuesday, if Trump manages to sweep Super Tuesday, because remember, Ted Cruz doesn't just have to win Texas. He has to blow Donald Trump out. In order for Ted Cruz to get all the delegates, or the majority of the delegates, he's got to blow Donald Trump out. He's got to win that state by more than 50%. If he doesn't, they're going to split up the delegates. There's 150 delegates. Ted Cruz has got to win all of them. If he doesn't win that state by a blowout, then he's going to get delegates. Trump's going to get delegates. Rubio will get delegates. They'll get split up. And then they move on to states where Trump's up in. Once that happens and they come out of Super Tuesday, it's over. And if I was Trump, I'd say, you know what? I'm done debating. I'm done participating in these these silly Fox News BS meetings. I'm done. I need to run a national campaign now. I need to campaign. I need to focus on Hillary Clinton. I don't need to focus on Marco Rubio. I don't need to focus on Ted Cruz. He couldn't even hammer me in his own state. And Marco Rubio's down by almost 30 points in Florida. It's over. finished. And just put a cap, okay? Just to put a little cap, a little end cap on this segment, which is going to be a story. Let me put a little end cap, because Fox News broadcasted it and talked about it last night. But CNN didn't, and MSNBC didn't. And it's extremely telling. When Donald Trump was giving his acceptance speech, he thanked two people. He thanked Phil Ruffin, who is a billionaire casino magnet in Las Vegas, who owns Treasure Island. And he also thanked another individual that was there by the name of Steve Wynn. You all know who Steve Wynn is, right? Another billionaire, a legend in the casino game. Now, why is this important? Let me explain. What has been the million-dollar question? And that million-dollar question is really the million-dollar question. Where has Sheldon Adelson been? Why has Sheldon Adelson not given the money that he gave 4 years ago? Remember, he gave Newt Gingrich's super PAC, the 20-something million dollars. The only reason Newt Gingrich was able to make the video that he made about Mitt Romney, remember it was like a half hour, an hour, like infomercial talking about all the crappy things Mitt Romney has done, Bain Capital, so forth and so on. The only reason he was able to do that is because Sheldon Adelson gave him millions and millions and millions of dollars. And everybody keeps asking, where's Sheldon Adelson's money? Well, I thought he was going to back Rubio. Well, his wife likes Cruz. Well, then he should give $10 million to Rubio, $10 million to Cruz. The goal is to knock Trump out. Why is Sheldon Adelson sitting on the sideline? What is going on? Why is this happening? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the answer to that question was in the room last night. Las Vegas is not a huge, huge, huge city. Nevada is not a huge state. And even though we're in 2016 and we moved on from the shadiness that is Vegas, it's still shady. Nevada still has legalized prostitution, and the mayor of Las Vegas, Goodman, her husband used to be the mayor, Oscar Goodman. Oscar Goodman has been in movies. I mean, he's like a little celebrity himself, but he's also had ties to organized crime in a roundabout way, dating back 20, 30, 40 years ago. And just imagine, he can't run for mayor anymore. So who runs for mayor? His wife. Well, guess what? He's still running Las Vegas. He's still running Las Vegas through his wife. Through his wife. No different than Hillary Clinton becoming president and Bill Clinton sitting next to her in the Oval Office. So guess what? It's not a big city, it's not a big town, it's not a big state. And you have Phil Ruffin, Steve Wynn, doing business with Donald Trump. Phil Ruffin is partners with Donald Trump on some projects. And then you have little old Sheldon Adelson, the Venetian, and any other business dealings that he has in Vegas. Well, guess what? They all got to get along. They all have to get along. They all have ties to each other. They all have ties to the various people. And you wonder why Sheldon Adelson hasn't put a full court press on Donald Trump? Because of Steve Wynn and Ruffin. You don't think Wynn and Ruffin made a visit to Adelson? You don't think when everybody was kissing Sheldon Adelson's ring, begging for money, and you heard Trump went to see him, and people went, "What? He's self-funding. Why is he?" You don't think Trump sat there and said, "Sheldon, this is a very small city. It's a very small town, my friend. You are there. You're on the strip. You're doing your thing. I'm here. Phil's here. Steve's here." I mean, you guys realize that the movie Ocean's 11, you know, that series, and the Andy Garcia character was based off of Steve Wynn? Just like I talked about Oscar Goodman's ties, Steve Wynn doesn't exactly have a squeaky clean record of dealing with nefarious characters from Las Vegas. The Andy Garcia character from Ocean's 11 was based off of Steve Wynn. You don't think Trump meeting with Adelson said, "Listen, Sheldon, I need a shot at winning this thing. I don't need you dumping $20, $30, $40, $50 million in attack ads against me. I just can't have it. I just can't have it. Phil can't have it, and Steven can't have it." And let's face it, Sheldon, when all of this over, whether I win or lose, we're all going to have to get along in this small town. We're all going to have to get along, Sheldon. You, Phil, me, and Wynn. And Adelson looked at him with his decrepit crypt keeper hand and shook his head. And Trump left. And then probably a week or two later, Steve Wynn gave Sheldon a visit. Said, "Shelly, how are you, my friend? Did Donald talk to you? Okay, cool, cool. Just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. All right, see you later." Now, do I know that happened for a fact? No. But was Phil Ruffin and Steve Wynn in attendance for Donald Trump while he gave his victory speech last night? Yes. That is a fact. Has Sheldon Adelson dumped millions of dollars in attack ads against Donald Trump? No. Did he do it in 2012? Yes. So, put 2 and 2, put 3 and 3, put 5 and 5. Put all those numbers together. Do what you want. These are my opinions. And we'll see how it pans out. But that's the Nevada caucuses. That's the story. That's the end of this.